Please turn in your Bibles to Mark, the second chapter. Today we'll read verses 21 and 22 as our text. Mark 2, 21 and 22. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. This text is still part of the Lord's remarks at the feast that Matthew, the just converted publican, put on in the Lord's honor. It is the next subject the Lord dealt with after answering the question about fasting in verses 18 through 20. The underlying thought of the Pharisees who questioned the Lord at this feast was whether he would introduce a new version of Judaism. The Lord Jesus was the master preacher. He knew exactly how to get his message across, not only to those who heard him in the days of his earthly ministry, but to those who would read his words hundreds and even thousands of years later. In his preaching, the Lord used illustrations taken from everyday life. It's amazing to me how these illustrations of the Lord always fit in every generation. Everybody can understand. He had already used the common marriage customs in dealing with fasting. Now he refers to the mending of clothing and the bottling of wine, things not only known to all people of the day, but things necessary for feasts such as the one where he was at this time. The Lord used parables to get his message across and to hang that message in the minds of his hearers and readers. Turn to Luke 5:36. Luke 5:36 calls this illustration the Lord used a parable. You might say, well, preacher, how do you know that's a parable? Because the Lord, Scripture says it was in Luke 5:36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent or a tear, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Here in our text, we have two miniature parables. For whatever reason, we seldom hear of these parables in today's preaching. In this message, we shall look closely at both. First, let's consider the parable of the garments in verse 21. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Now, everyone understood the illustration here concerning the patching of clothing. I say that, and then I wonder if this generation understands that. When I was a boy, I was the scourge of my mother because I was always tearing the knees out of my jeans. And my brother did the same thing. Well, my mother would very skillfully sew patches on those tears. You know, we couldn't run down to Walmart and just get another pair of jeans. We didn't have the money to do that in those days. So she would very skillfully sew patches on those tears, and the pants would be made to last longer. A lot of times we wore them till we grew out of them. Mother would save an old pair of jeans, and she would use that for, she would cut out pieces out of that to make such patches. And it was not looked upon as an embarrassment for us to go to school with patches on our knees, because all the other kids did too. The Lord Jesus speaks here in verse 21 of a piece of new cloth being sewn as a patch onto an old garment. In Luke 5:36 that we just read, the Lord Jesus speaks of taking a piece of new cloth from a new garment. Now, that passage in Luke is an account of the same incident It's just from a little different slant because it's written by a different man. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. In other words, cutting up a new garment to get a piece of cloth with which to patch an old garment. That's what is being said here. New cloth. I don't know if this is still true or not. I guess that it is, although they have so many of these synthetic fabrics now. But in the old days, when most things were cotton and denim, new cloth had not yet shrunk. It didn't have pre-shrunk jeans. And so when it got wet, it would shrink. If a piece of new cloth is sewn into an old garment, the patch piece will tear away from the old garment when it shrinks. Not only that, since the new piece is stronger than the surrounding cloth of the old garment, it will also cause the cloth of the old garment to tear. You know, instead of both of them giving a little bit, the old would tear. Therefore, putting the patch on the old garment only makes the original tear worse. The patch that is supposed to solve the problem just creates a bigger problem. The Lord Jesus is saying here that it is absurd to combine old and new garments by sewing parts of the new upon the old. Now that's the picture. That's the illustration. So what is the point that the Lord is making here at this feast, talking to these Pharisees and disciples of John the Baptist? His primary meaning is this. The old garment represents the garment of Old Testament Judaism, or what we sometimes call the old Jewish dispensation, which Hebrews 8:13 says was decaying and ready to vanish away. Let's turn to that, Hebrews 8:13. This is talking about the old Jewish dispensation, Old Testament Judaism, Mosaic law. And Hebrews 8:13 says, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The new garment, a piece of which has been cut out to mend the old, represents the kingdom of the Messiah, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the new dispensation. The Lord Jesus is saying here that the old dispensation cannot be improved upon by adding to or by joining parts of the new to it. The Lord's hearers, in other words, must not expect that Messiah's kingdom would be just a patching up of the Jewish religion of the Old Testament. It would not involve adding new things from the gospel to the Jewish religion. On the contrary, it is an entirely new thing. The Jewish order was corrupt and could not be improved. The Christian gospel could not be taken in part only. It must be embraced as a whole. The doctrines of Christ's kingdom were not to be put into the forms of the Mosaic law or of Pharisaic tradition. The Lord Jesus did not come to patch up the old dispensation by adding parts of His kingdom to that. He came to make a complete new thing. The work of Jesus Christ, if added to Judaism, would tear the old garment and reveal the defects of the old garment. New here speaks of a complete contrast with that which needs mending. Clearly, the garment of Old Testament Judaism was not to be mended by the Lord Jesus Christ. The old garment, with all of its religious rites and ceremonies, must be set aside. The only hope was a new robe. The Lord Jesus was saying that the current religion of Israel needed total change, and any compromise between the two would fail of necessity. But what is the application of all this to us today? The garment in this parable speaks of righteousness, both garments. I should have said the garments speak of righteousness. And righteousness is often compared to a garment in Scripture. For example, turn to Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. One of the many times in which the Scripture compares righteousness to a garment. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You remember the story of the prodigal son? When the prodigal came home, his father called for the best robe to be put on him. That was a reference to the sinners being clothed upon with the robe of Christ's righteousness. A garment, what is the function of a garment? That's important to this point here. A garment covers the shame of men's nakedness, which is a picture of sin and guilt. A garment also makes a person attractive to look at. You know, even an old preacher can look better if he's spiffed up in a new suit. A garment adorns people, makes them attractive to look at. The old garment is a man's own righteousness. It is the righteousness of an unrenewed person. Now, all men, by nature, go about to establish their own righteousness before God. Turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. Romans 10:3, Paul is speaking of the Jews, what is true of all men by nature. Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. All sinners by nature go about to establish their own righteousness. You did it. I did it. Before we were saved, we all did it by nature. Many sinners join the church or give to charity or live so-called decent lives or get baptized or read the Bible or go to church as a garment with which they hope to hide the shame of their sins from the eyes of a holy God. Many, like the people at Laodicea in Revelation 3:17, take pride in their old righteousness, their filthy rags, and they think they don't need anything. Let's turn to that. Revelation 3:17. Here in Revelation 3:17, the Lord says to these people, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. These people thought they had a beautiful robe of righteousness, but He said, you don't even know that you're wretched, and all these other adjectives. In reality, such righteousness, that is of our own achievement, is old. It's worn out, rotten, filthy, defiled, polluted, and it stinks in the nostrils of God, and it makes those who wear it loathsome in His sight. When He looks at us with our rags of self-righteousness, it is repulsive to Him. Turn to Isaiah 64:6, where God says this. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 describes this righteousness, this old garment that we're talking about here. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The new garment represents the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, worked out in his life of sinless obedience to God's law, and in his substitutionary blood shedding and death for sinners on Calvary's cross. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus Christ was made unto us righteousness. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jeremiah 23:6 goes so far as to say that the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord himself is our righteousness. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. This garment of Christ's perfect righteousness covers the shame and guilt of our sin from the sight of the Holy God. This beautiful garment of Christ's perfect righteousness makes the soul beautiful to God and thus acceptable in His holy presence. The righteousness by which we are justified is a righteousness that is without law and without works. Turn to Romans 4:5. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, it's not by any righteousness that we can achieve. This new garment of Christ's righteousness is something completely separate from the old righteousness of our own works. The application of this parable to us today is that the new righteousness of Jesus Christ is not to be combined with the old righteousness that men try to achieve for themselves. Men must not attempt to put part of Christ's righteousness into their old garment, their old ragged righteousness. Now, no wise man, or maybe I should say no wise woman, would cut up a new garment to mend an old ragged garment. She would throw away the old and wear the new. I mean, no wise woman would do that. She'd throw away the old. And yet, what no wise person would do with his clothing, many people try to do in connection with their souls. One who would be saved must not think that he can patch the old garment by putting a piece of Christ's righteousness into it. All our own righteousness is as filthy rags, or like an old rotten garment that can't be mended by any acts related to the gospel. The gospel in our salvation is not to be joined with things we do. No matter how religious those things might be, in order to make up a justifying righteousness before God. Today's Arminians think that God will do His part and they must do their part in salvation. That's sewing a new piece into an old garment. Or they think that man must do his part and God will do all the rest. But we can never tear parts out of Christ's robe of perfect righteousness in order to patch up our old and faulty garments. It is madness to do so. Nothing sinful men can do will agree with Christ's work of providing righteousness for justification. There is no agreement between Christ's perfect work and our own failure. The Lord Jesus will have no part in such a scheme. The complete work of Christ is necessary for a sinner to be accepted with God. A man can have no part in the work of Christ. No part. Christ has accomplished a complete righteousness for a complete sinner. The filthy rags of our self-righteousness are to be thrown out. The old garment is not to be patched. We must throw away those filthy rags of our own righteousness and receive instead the finished work of Christ, the beautiful robe of His righteousness. We must throw the old garment away and put on the entire robe of Christ's righteousness. Sinner friend here this afternoon, throw away your old righteousness so that you may be clothed with the complete and beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness. If you will come to Christ, He will give you the righteousness that you need in which to stand accepted before God. Any poor, guilty, believing sinner is now welcome to the whole robe of Christ. The whole righteousness of God is imputed to the believing sinner, and he is then accepted in the Beloved. Alas, sinners by nature will never beg Christ for this whole new garment that He is ready to give them. Now, let's look in the second place in this text at the parable of the bottles in verse 22. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Now, let me say here, I looked at a number of commentaries and listened to some messages on this particular verse, and I was sadly amused that some of our fundamentalist brothers tried to say that this was not alcoholic wine. But I submit to you, and I believe you, by reading the context, you will agree, this is real wine with an alcohol content. And this is seen in the fact that the Lord says that new wine put into old bottles will burst those bottles. What is it that bursts them? It's the alcohol and the gas from the alcohol, the fermentation. Now, that doesn't mean that we believe in social drinking. That doesn't mean that it's okay, therefore, for Christians to drink. I'm just recognizing the fact of what the Scripture says in this place. I don't feel any need to defend God's Word. Just let it be what it is. Now, bottles is a term used in New Testament times to describe what we today would call bags. Our son-in-law likes bags, and I hope he doesn't hear this sermon, but it's almost, he's like one of these shoppers, you know, that's, just hooked on shopping. I forgot what he called it. A what? Yes, obsessive. I really hope he doesn't hear this, but he likes bags. And whenever we go through a store, a sporting goods store or Walmart or anything, boy, that's the first thing he sees is these bags. And that's basically what this is. It's what we would call a bag today. These bottles or bags in those days were made of goat skins. And they were partly tanned, and they were sewn together in roughly the form of the goats from which they were taken. If you've ever seen a picture of them, it looks like the head was cut off right at the outer end of the neck, and each of the four limbs cut off right about here, but the rest of it's pretty much the shape of that goat. And those hides are sewed together like that to make the bottles out of them. Well, these bottles, as they called them, were for the purposes of preserving and carrying liquids, water, milk, wine, other liquids. Well, since the Lord was speaking at Matthew's feast, such bottles were probably in sight of those to whom the Lord was speaking that day. As these bottles aged, they would become stiff and rotten, and they would easily burst. Joshua 9:4 and 13, in telling how the Gibeonites deceived Israel into saving them alive during Israel's invasion of Canaan, say that they brought old wine bottles with them on their supposedly long journey. Let's turn to that and read it because it describes these old bottles. Joshua 9:4, and then we'll skip down to verse 13. Just because of time constraints, we can't read the whole story, but we'll read these two representative verses here. Joshua 9:4. They did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent or torn, and bound up. Now verse 13. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new when we left, and behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. New bottles, on the other hand, were strong and pliable, and thus capable of expansion. Putting new wine in old bottles would burst the old bottles, because when fermentation takes place, the old skins could not expand. They were stiff, they were hardened, and so when all that gas from the fermentation started expanding, gas always has to expand, then they would burst. New skins or bottles could handle the fermentation of new wine without damage, but would burst the rigid leather of the old skins. The new wine is fresh and good, but if the wineskin has been used before, it can't be used again. Here is a contrast between old and new wineskins as receptacles for new wine. So, this second parable teaches the same basic truth as the first, but with an important difference. The old wine is parallel with the ragged clothing, and the new wine and new bottles are parallel with the new garment that must not be torn. The primary meaning of this parable was that the finished work of Christ could not be contained in the old Judaism. Let's think for a moment about the application of this parable for today. The wine here, as is the case in Isaiah 55:1, speaks of the gospel. Turn to Isaiah 55:1, which refers to the gospel as wine. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What is he asking them to come to and to buy? It's wine. What is that? That's the gospel. We need new life within in order to receive the wine of the gospel. The new bottles speak of regeneration, the new birth, the creating of a new creature in Christ Jesus. The heart of man must be made new. What an awful, wretched thing the heart of man is. It has to be made new. Regeneration is absolutely necessary before any person can receive the wine of spiritual things. The garments tell of Christ's work outside of us. You know, all of that, all of His righteousness was something accomplished outside of and apart from us. We believe in it, it's imputed to us, but it's not infused into us. It's clothed upon us. These garments tell us of Christ's work outside of us, but the new wine in the new wineskin speaks of Christ's work within us. Both of these things are necessary to salvation. You have to be justified and you have to be regenerated. Both of those things are necessary. Righteousness is not imputed without regeneration. Nor can we have regeneration without righteousness. They can't be separated, but they are distinct matters. New wine must be put into new bottles. In conclusion, then, using new patches on old garments and putting new wine into old bottles always ends in failure. Have you been born again? Has the wine of the gospel been put into the new bottle? Do you have on that beautiful garment of Christ's perfect righteousness that covers the shame of your sin and makes you beautiful and acceptable in the eyes of the holy God. Throw away the filthy rags of your own righteousness and put on that beautiful robe of Christ's perfect righteousness today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful for these two parables. And we pray that you'd forgive our limited understanding of these things. We pray that you'd give us a deeper understanding, a more thorough understanding of the things that are involved here. Thank you for the glorious gospel of Christ that is involved in these two parables. We pray, our Father, that we would be challenged to study your word more and learn from it these great truths about your work and your kingdom. Father, we pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen.